Greetings, radio friends. This is Parker Budding. We've been out in the studios, and we got a great show lined up for you. Call a friend and tell them that we're on the air. That's the Shepherd's Call. Tonight we're going to have a very important, we think, session here, a teaching session. We would like for you to write the scriptures down. Follow us if you will. We're going to write a fast course tonight. I get into the scriptures because we're going to cover this in about 50 minutes. So, we're going to get right into the scriptures, and we're going to start in 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 6. So if you will turn there, some of the doctrines and the things that we teach that we believe that is very essential. And three of the elements that we're going to talk about tonight in the message, we're going to title this message, What Has Water Got to Do With It? Water is a very important element. And as you very well know, that your body is probably made up of 75% of water. And also, we know that the earth, in relationship to the percentages, is covered almost with three-quarters of the surface of the earth is covered with water. So we have earth and water, and in that we have air and fire. And that's the four sacred elements that make up the divine composition of our Father. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 24, that Yahweh is a spirit. It says God in your King James Bible. God is a misnomer. And we use a Yahweh, or the Father, or the Eternal One. There's many gods, so when we say God, we hope that you know that we're talking about our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to begin to the scriptures here, and let me start at verse 3. For this is the love of God, Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, right off the bat, if you will write down this scripture concerning water baptism, and that's going to be our subject tonight, is it essential for your great entry or your great denial? Does it have anything to do with where you are to spend eternity? We're gonna turn over the stones necessary to give you the enlightenment. I would like if you would write in your Bible, if you have a place in the margin, at verse 3 here in John chapter 5, verse 3, if you will write down Acts 10:48. And we will go there and read this scripture for you. And remember now, we're talking about commandment keeping. The Bible says, don't call me Yahweh and do not the things that I say to do. Is there a scripture where it commands us to be baptized in water? We're going to see if the scriptures will support the evidence that water baptism is essential. And we believe that it is the linking key to eternal salvation through the name. You cannot get one drop of the blood that was shed from Calvary. You must have the blood preached to you through the name. And through the name, you receive remission of sin. And the scriptures teach you that sin remitting is strictly and only in water baptism, and we believe it's in the name of Yahweh. We're going to try to prove that tonight. And we're going to lay the preponderance of the evidence at your feet, and we want you to examine it with your heart. Let every man be fully persuaded. And today, if you hear his voice, if he talks to you tonight, if you're in our listening audience tonight, we pray that Yahweh will give that this word will make an inroad into your spirit. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Now let's go to Acts 10, and we're going to start at verse 47. can any man forbid water, that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he, this is Peter, bringing the first message to the wayward sheep, the sheep scattered abroad. Cornelius is an Italian, and he's an Israelite, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yahweh. And they prayed for him to tarry certain days. For the love of God that we keep his commandments. Now, what would hinder you from obedience? You say, well, Brother Benny, I just don't know what to do. Then let's go down to verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water. But there it is. Now, if we love Yahweh, we will keep his commandments. Well, let's examine the preponderance of the evidence. Folks, we believe that it is the Word that will set you free. We believe that it is his Word that will be used either for you or against you in the day of judgment when you are judged. And that day of judgment is now, when you hear the voice of Yahweh. And so here we are. We are in verse 9. Listen to this. If we receive the witness of men. Now, there's men that's going to argue with me on this. There's men that's going to argue with you that water baptism has nothing to do with saving you. And yet, we're going to go from the book of John, turn back to 1 Peter, and we're going to the third chapter, and we're going to see if water has anything to do with saving you. We're going to start at the 18th verse, 1 Peter 3:18. We're going to go slow for you now, so that you can keep up with us. If you can't, write the scriptures down. For Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By the Spirit, he went also and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient. And once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, by the ark that was preparing, wherein he, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, isn't that odd? That the same thing that destroyed those upon the earth of disobedience, that Yahweh chose the same punishment of destruction, also out of the water he raised the little ark to save eight souls by water? Isn't Yahweh strange? Doesn't he work in strange and peculiar ways? Let's go to verse 21. Now, the subject is water here. The same figure, or the like figure, we're talking about water, according to even baptism, that now also save us. Now, saving yourself. Let's examine the scriptures if water has anything to do with saving you. Now, we're going over to chapter 2 of Philippians, and we're going to start at verse 9. And we're talking about the saving manifested name. Therefore, God, the Father, also hath high exalted him. Talking about this man, Christ, that came into the world in a flesh body to become Savior. And hath given him a name which is above every name. Now, I want you to write after the word name here that I just finished reading in your margin. Learn to search the scriptures, here a little and there a little. Right in your margin there, John, St. John, chapter 5, verse 43. Let's go quickly over to John 5:43 and see what it says. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own land, him shall you receive. He says that God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name. He actually gave him his own name. The Son acknowledged that he come in the Father's name. Now quickly, if you have room, John chapter 17, verse 6. Write that in the margin of your mind. Study with us tonight. We're on a search. We're on the hunt. Praise Yahweh. And the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Don't let the flesh man, don't let pride, don't let it hinder you from your appointed destiny. That you are predestined to hear the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized. Quickly, John 17, verse 6. I have manifested thy name. Remember, the Father gave him a name that has every name. And the Son said, I am come in my Father's name. So the Father's name and the Son's name has to be the same name. No exceptions. Why? Because there's salvation in only one name. We're not talking about two individuals in heaven. God is a spirit. But the manifestation of God was in a flesh body, called himself the Son of Man, and walked among us, having found himself in the form of a man, who humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the torture stake. Therefore, God, the Father, highly exalted this flesh body, and he gave this flesh body a name above every name. John 17:6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Now, quickly, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Here we find that the Messiah, keeping the divine hidden, revealed now name of Yahweh. Verse 26. Here it is, O righteous Father, the world hath not known you. This is in verse 25. But I have known you. Do you really know what the Father's name is? If you want to die, would you want the Father's name in your forehead? Well, you say, well, of course I would. If it means anything, well, we're going to find out whether it does or not. Verse 26. And I have declared unto them thy name. Wonder what name he told them the Father's name was. Couldn't have been Jesus, because everybody says that Jesus is not the Father's name. Well, we're going to add a little fireworks to the explosive situation here, and we're going to declare emphatically that Jehovah of the Old Testament is erroneous. It is a false and misleading name. Do not fall into the trap by using Jehovah. Or don't fall into the trap of just using God, because there's many of those. And Jehovah is erroneous and misleading, and even the Jehovah Witnesses will acknowledge that Jehovah is not his name. But they erroneously put it in there when they mix the vowels with the sacred four letters, the YHWH, and came out with Jehovah, now called Jehovah. It is a false, misleading name. Do not be deceived. Praise Yahweh. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherein that thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Quickly now, we're going to Mark. We're going to the book of Mark. And we're going to the 16th chapter. Follow me in Mark 16. Praise Yahweh. The truth will stand when the world's on fire. Let's see what Yahweh gave them a great commission. We're going to verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. The word creature there is 2937. It's a misnomer. Preach it to the souls that are predestined to receive it. He that believeth and is baptized. Verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized. He that believeth. You say, I don't believe the water has anything to do with it, brother. Good. Well, you see, that's what you've been taught. Does the scriptures agree with you, or does the scriptures and the preponderance of the evidence disagree with you? That's the question. And you stand before him, you're going to have to stand without any excuse if you can read and if you can understand. Now, how can you hear without a preacher? A preacher will come preaching the divine name, and that divine name will give you salvation. For in Acts 4, 11 and 12, write it down. It's very important. There is only one name under heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, I cannot express to you the importance of and seeing and believing that this name is more important than owning a Cadillac. It's more important than owning Beverly Hills. I've never been there, but they tell me that there's many of the movie stars mentioned there. I wouldn't trade the name and the knowledge I have for Yahweh for everything in California, or on the earth for that matter, because if I gain the whole world and lost this divine name and the salvation contained within it, what would I give in exchange? You too must pay the price. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Here is the reckoning scripture, that he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Remember John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name. 5,823 times in the Hebrew Bible. There the English has mistranslated. If you don't believe that, get your new open King James Bible. Read in the prefix where they tell you and explain to you that they erred when they wrote the King James Bible and left out the divine name Yahweh and inserted Lord and Jehovah erroneously. The King James people that wrote the Bible will acknowledge that if you'll hunt for the information. So you cannot trust the King James Bible to give you the rest of the story. You must hear it from a preacher, and he can't preach except he be sent. And if he sent, he will give you, thus saith, the word of Yahweh. Now quickly, we're going over to Luke chapter 24. Follow us if you will go with us to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to start in verse 37. That they were terrified when he appeared unto them after his resurrection, and they were frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. But he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do your thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Now, notice this. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Logos, in the Greek. Any way you cut it, he was Word, God, made flesh. And in the truth verse, it says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, quickly down to the 45th verse of chapter 24, Luke. Then opened he their understanding. How can we hear without a preacher? Here is the disciples. They walked with him for 3.5 years and still didn't have the understanding of who he was. They still didn't understand the complete mystery and get the whole picture. Are you sure you're getting the whole picture? Are you sure that your pastor is telling you the whole truth? Then open their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Well, surely somebody walked with him and seen him and heard him preach for 3.5 years should have had the picture. But he had to open their understanding. How does faith come? Let me give you the mystery. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And how can they preach except they be sent? For that is the way faith comes through revelation of the prophets and the teachers. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves the Messiah to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day. Verse 47, here it is. Grab it. Write it down in the margin here. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, in his name. Repentance and remission of sins. How do you get your sins remitted? When you feel sorry for your sins, when you want to be regenerated, when you want to confess, when you want to pray, when you want to say, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner, when you want to come back to the old path, what must you do? That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Come on, all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Where did it start? Well, let's go quickly over to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to pick up the mystery here after we come back from our sponsors. We're going to start in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to go to the 37th verse. We're talking about tonight the water. Does it have anything to do with saving yet? What does water have to do with it? Stay tuned. Part 2's coming up, and we're going to really get scorching down the highway of holiness, where you must appear before it. Pastor Stahl, this is Pastor Buddy, and we're going to continue here with the information on what water got to do with it. Because the water takes precedence over everything else, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? And here it is in verse 37, chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Turn with us, if you will. Write this in your margin now, because we're going to give you some key scriptures to key into in your search. Folks, this is very important. We believe that it's your salvation. I received this information through days and days and years of study and fasting and praying. I'm a sincere student of the Word. I know that when I depart from this life, that if I don't do my best to enter into life, then everything I've done here is in vain. You know, the scriptures talk about in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. If you're a lukewarm church and they're not teaching you the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and they're not coming up to par with the scriptures here, then you've got to ask yourself this question. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, remember in Luke 24, verse 47, that it behooves them to suffer and to preach and to rise from the dead, and that sins and remissions of sins to be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. But here it is, at Jerusalem, it is being fulfilled, and the question was asked when they heard the message. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Underline in your Bible and put a question mark there for yourself. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, let's follow the instructions of the apostolic fathers. Then Peter, we've listened of fans, yes. Listen, this is the same one that said in Acts 10:48. Write that in your margin there. 10:48, Acts. For he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yahweh. Here it is now. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent means to turn from something that you're in or doing. And when you repent, you are to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins. Now, the reason we don't believe that Jesus is the proper name to be put in here, Jesus is less than 400 years old. Jesus didn't even make it in to the original King James 1611 Bible that was handed to King James. King James never read the name Jesus. He never heard of it. And after he read his Bible that he got translated, he still hadn't heard of it because Jesus ain't in there. Well, what did they put in? Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's where you must do your homework. You must search the scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life. You have none. What they did masterfully here and deceitfully, they took out the Greek equivalent of Yahweh, I-E-U-E. And they put in the Greek equivalent of Jesus, I-E-A-I-E-A-S-U-S, Jesus. And they put that in there to give glory and honor and power to Zeus, the Greek god. And you say, why would they do that? Because they believed he was God. They had nothing to do, didn't want anything to do with the Hebrew God, Yahweh. That's why they took it out. Now remember, Yahweh became the rejected stone, and Jesus became the accepted stone. Now, my question to you, if the stone the builders refused is the rejected stone, and then they put in a god by the name of Jesus, and we can prove this, right? Or call it for the information. You see, your very soul's salvation may hinge on this great mystery here. It took me 30 years of strenuous labor, studying, praying, and fasting to get this information that I just handed you. It took me 30 years to find it. So don't take this lightly. You are now advantaged to hear the rest of the gospel here in truth. Repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sin. That's what water baptism is for. It is for the remission of sin. You say, I've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, let's go over to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to look at a verse of scripture there and examine that to see if that is correct and the procedure for doing what it says here in Matthew 28. And we're going to start at verse 18. Then came the Messiah, Yahweh, Shua, and spake unto them, saying, our power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm teaching all of the nations of Israel. Praise Yahweh, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Teach them and baptize them in the name. Right there it is. Now, your job and your responsibility, because it's your soul, you say, I don't believe what you're saying. Well, you've got to believe something. You can even believe a lie and be damned if you want to. But your responsibility is to solve the great mystery. The mystery is, what is his name? And what is his son's name? Now, if they don't have the same name, we got a problem here. Because if the father and the son don't bear or have the same name, then you've got a major gate problem. Because you can't serve two masters. And you certainly can't have two names called over you. And so everybody wants to give Yahweh another name. They take the son and say, he's got a name. Let's suppose then, and the sacred name movement, they use a Yeshua. Oh, truly, truly, truly. No, falsely, falsely, falsely. Because Yeshua is not his name, ladies and gentlemen. At 5,823 times in all the prophetic utterances of the Old Testament, there's reference to only one name. In that day, Yahweh says, I will come to the earth, and I will come in my name. What was his name in the Old Testament? 5,823 times? Yahweh. What was his name in the New Testament? Yahweh. And here's the argument for those stupid people, folks, that say, well, if they'd have called him Yahweh, what? They would have killed him. Guess what? Ladies and gentlemen, they killed Yahweh. They laid his body in a stone grave, dug out of the stone. He was the stone the builders rejected. You say, well, why did they kill him? Because he said he was Yahweh. That's why that they killed him. Every time you see capital letters here in the New Testament, we're speaking of Yahweh, not another substandard name, not a lesser name. This name is above every name. And what name do you believe in the universe is above every name? That's your dilemma. That's your problem. You must search the scriptures. Go and teach them and baptize them in the name of the Father. Now, when you figure out what the Father's name is, you've got to baptize them in it. Now, if it ain't the same as the Son, then you've got a major dilemma problem. You Yahshua people, that use Yahshua and say it's different from Yahweh, how are you going to explain this? If Yahweh is not Yahshua, then you're leaving out the Father, and you're leaving out his name. Now, if you use Yeshua, and that ain't the Father's name, you're violating Matthew 28:19, because it says specifically that baptized in the name, singular, name of the Father, not names. If it was two names here, or three names, it would say, in the name God. They don't say that. And you see, when you run into a oneness, one Yahweh creature like me, you have problems. Because when you get up and run another lane, it don't run so easy. It's just like playing poker. You gotta have the card to win the pot. You gotta have the name that takes precedence. And I've got it. What's the name written? What is it? Yahweh. His name and one name. In that day there shall be one Yahweh and his name too. We got these sacred names, folks, that make me so sick. And if you listen to me and you want out, you need to call me. And we have a full-blown talk in the woodshed, and we will teach you what the Father's name is, and the Son's name, and the Holy Ghost. That's the problem here, folks. We have confusion, even in the sacred name, folks. We got all kinds of confusion and dilemma. You know why did you use Yeshua? You don't believe he's the Father. Praise Yahweh. You see, your unbelief is just as evident as it is if you was using Jesus. You say, well, I know Jesus ain't his name. You say that folks have got it all figured out. Jesus ain't his name. You jump out of the frying pan, right into the fire, and say, well, his name is Yeshua. Oh, don't make me sick. Praise Yahweh. Why don't you stand up like a man or a woman and debate this old gray-headed preacher about what the name is and what his name is. And here it is in Matthew 28:19. Baptize him in the name of the Father. You got to figure that out, folks. And if you come up with any other solution other than the Father and the Son having the same name, then you're going to have a major big problem. We're going over to, now listen to me, we're going over to John. We're going over to the book of John. You say, well, you know, buddy, I think it comes down to this. Well, this question about baptism is not important. You see, you lose interest in baptism when I preach. Because you have to go back and get baptized yourself. You've been baptized in the name of Yeshua, or Yahshua. You know what Yahshua's name is? Yahweh is salvation. So if I ask you what name has salvation, and you said Yahweh and Yahshua is not the same name, you got a problem. Because, you see, I'm holding on the name of salvation. You're acknowledging the one that I've got salvation, and yet you won't baptize in. That tells me something about you. You may be a false prophet in the name. Beware of them that come in the name, or they will deceive what? Many. That's why I'm after you tonight. Praise God, and you ain't going to hide from me. You can't hide from this gospel. The gospel will hunt you down and smoke you out of the hole like the groundhog that you are. That's what groundhogs do. They live in a hole. Well, prophets of Yahweh, we know how to smoke the groundhog out of a hole. And we know a hog when we see one. And we know a goat when we hear one. I know it says that. Praise Yahweh. Well, we've got the truth here, and the truth is, it'll set you free. Did Yahweh ever baptize anybody? That's the question. Now we're going to John, and we're going to chapter 3, and we're going to verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. Who is this that came from above? Well, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, John 10:1-10. And in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. Verse 14, the Word was Yahweh made flesh. Yahweh walked in a flesh body. Are you getting this message tonight? Are you having problems? What does water have to do with it? Water is essential because it puts a seal in your forehead. If you don't have that seal in your forehead, you are doomed, eternally lost, forever separated from the commonwealth of Israel. Why was Yahweh hated when he came? Because he said he was Yahweh. He said, if another comes in his own name, you'll receive him. Pretty jealous. Here's what John acknowledged. He said, he to come up from the dead is above all. Above all? Yes, yeah, in heaven. And he that speaketh of the earth, he that cometh from heaven is above all. And when we had seen him, and we heard, and we testified, and no man received his testimony. Now, here we are. Here we believe that nobody received his testimony. Now we're going back to chapter 3. We're still in chapter 3, but we're going to back up just a little bit. and we're going to get the issue here of him that cometh from above all. We'll find out who he is. Verse 22, after these things came the Messiah, Yahweh, and his disciples into the land of Judea. There he tarried with him, and he baptized. And John was also baptizing in on near the stadium, because there was much water there. What's water got to do with this? So here is the creator of creation. Here is the one that could have been a king doing other kingly things, down here upon the earth in a fresh body, running around with a bunch of silly men that didn't understand the plan for 3.5 years, baptizing them, and he still had to open up their understanding in Luke 24:47. Are you that type? You're running around with Yahweh, and you still don't know who he is because you're calling Yahshua. I'm sick of some of these preachers in oneness and in the name of Yahweh, sacred name, identity, using another name. Now, the only justification is for you to call him Yahshua is if you know what you're saying. And you're responsible for what you're saying. If you say Yahshua, then listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, you're speaking Hebrew here, and Yahshua is Savior. Yah is a short poetic form, Psalm 68:4, to praise Yah. Every time you say hallelujah, you're using a short poetic form of his divine name. And when you use two words, Hebrew words, Yah and Shua, you're saying Yahweh is Savior. You really believe that? If Yahweh is Savior, who saved you? Well, what name saves you? The name above every name. And here he turned, he said there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. John and his disciples got baptized and were at the Messiah. And then they came to John. Here comes the devil now after you get baptized. Remember in Luke chapter 3, verse 21? Have you ever read that scripture? Turn around and write this in your margin. Luke. We're going back to Luke just for a moment. We're coming back to the scriptures here. Luke 3:21. Listen to me now. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, also being baptized in Korean, the heaven was opened. He got baptized, ladies and gentlemen, in water. You say, oh, water don't have nothing to do with your salvation. You better follow the practice of somebody that knows what it was all about. Let me ask you a question. When John came preaching water baptism for the remission of sin, in the 7th chapter of Luke, the Messiah asked them, tell me, the baptism of John, did he come from heaven or was it at man? And they said, well, we can't tell because they feared the people. And, hey, they said, if we say it was from heaven, he said, won't you believe it? Here it is. And the Holy Ghost descended into a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from saying, from heaven said, now, mark there. Sounds like there's two of them here, but let me give you some understanding here. And the voice said, thou art my beloved son, of whom I'm well pleased. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just misquoted that. It don't say that. Oh, it sounded good, oh, didn't it? Yep, that's Satan for you. He can run it by you so quick and whistle the anything right by your ear and you never catch it. He didn't say that. Thou art my beloved son of whom I'm well pleased. He didn't say that. Listen to what it said. Put the terminology in correctly and you got it. Thou art my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, you mean the Father was in the Son? Mm-hmm. And he was reconciling the world unto himself. What is God? John 4:24. God the Spirit. So God the Father was in that flesh body, hallelujah, walking around telling everybody who would listen to him, he said, I'm Yahweh. And they said, you are a demon. You are deranged. You're stupid. You know, I've got people today says that I'm stupid for saying that Yahweh was made flesh. They call me ignorant and unlearned. But they have a problem when they get in the book because I know what scripture they can read and what they can't read. I know where it's at. I don't have to stutter. I don't have to, you know, most of these preachers get on the floor and they can't quote three scriptures without getting tongue-tied. Or their memory, they get old-timers. It's called Alzheimer's, I guess, but I call it old-timers. You know, they haven't spent enough full time in the Word to understand what the Word's all about. Let me tell you, let me warn you that if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Now, let's go from there back to John chapter 5, chapter 3. First, and we're going to 5. John chapter 3, verse 5. Here it is now. Follow me. The Messiah answered and said unto Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He said, I've been baptized. I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I was baptized in Jesus' name. Well, I'm sorry. That's a false name. And I'm sorry. The name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost was just said over you where there was no name used. You see, when a Baptist and a Methodist and a Catholic and the Quakers and the Shakers and the Undertakers, all that, when they baptize you, they're all the same. They say the ritual formula, I'm now obedience to the command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And never use the name. What did they do to you? They said they want to baptize you in the name, but they lied to you. Have you ever been lied to by a preacher? You say, well, preachers don't lie. The only one that lies is you, buddy. Well, it looks like that we're pulling the wool off the real wire here tonight, because only the name of Yahweh will save you. We're going to prove that. Except the man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you're going to try to make it on some other way, or somebody else's coattail, go to hell with them. But if you want to make it on the word, repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh, and you can receive a crown of life. That's what the scripture says. Now, we're going over to the 19th verse here, and listen to it. This is condemnation that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness better than light. What's water got to do with this tonight? Let me tell you what water's got to do with it. It will save your soul, or it will destroy you as it did in the days of Noah. You see, those unbelievers back there is the same today that we got over here. We got these big fat creatures. Their bellies strung out over their belt. They look like they've fasted in 40 years. They went behind the years in green gourd. The only thing that they do know how to do is take up an offering and a collection, or send me your tithes and offerings. That's all they've got. That's their message. Very few people have the word. I don't need your tithes and I don't need your offerings if you don't want to support the truth. If you'll support the truth, then tithe to me and I'll burn your neighbor up with the gospel. I don't take any prisoners in the gospel. Why? Because if I lied to you, then that would make me a liar. And liars have their part where? In the lake of fire. So then, if I preach you the truth and you hate me, I'd rather have you hate me than preach you a lie and have you love me. And send me all your money. I don't need your money. I don't need to go to hell with you and your money. I'd rather go to heaven without your money than go to hell with it. Praise Yahweh. So therefore, my dilemma here is that I must preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized in water shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Here we go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are far, even as many as Yahweh shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself. Who's going to save you? Who's going to get you up off the couch, potato, and get you down to the river and baptize you? Only you can do that. You need to find an old-fashioned minister. This minister will baptize, teach, and preach in the divine name of the Creator. Check your Hebrew, ladies and gentlemen. You see, your English is not good enough. You've got to go back to the original language. And the word and the name must be translated and transliterated correctly. Now, names are not translated. And isn't it strange that Satan made this through the scriptures? When they translate his name, they did a good job. Oh, they put his name in there just like it was written. But when it came to Yahweh, they transliterated his name out, translated his name out, and put in a false name, Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, think about this. Listen, First Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, there's many lords. And when they put many lords, when they put lord there, if you'll go to your Holman Bible dictionary or your English or any other good dictionary and look up the word lord, guess where it takes you? It don't take you to Yahweh. It takes you to Baal. Oh, you Baal worshipers, Lord said this and the Lord said that. Folks, listen, we got to sum this up here real quick. What's water got to do with it? It means everything for your soul salvation. If you want to spend eternity in heaven with the Father, you must be sealed, according to Revelation 14 and 1, you must have his name in your forehead.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.